We're making tentative progress on one of the world's most dreaded disorders, Alzheimer's disease. It's estimated that more than 6 million Americans, most of them over 65, may have Alzheimer's. But a couple of recent drugs are drawing attention for their potential to at least make a little difference in the dementia brought on by Alzheimer's. One recently won full FDA approval. And could there be other therapies that enhance the actions of those medications or lifestyle enhancements that could slow the progression or help prevent Alzheimer's disease in the future? One therapy that's being looked at is listening to and making music, and it's having a surprising effect. And speaking of music, a big three-day musical festival is coming to the South Bay area of Los Angeles next month. The Beach Life Fest might be one that is unfamiliar to you now, but it's packing some big name talent. Fox 11 News in Depth starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner, and this is Fox 11 News in Depth. Alzheimer's is currently ranked as the seventh leading cause of death in the United States and is the most common cause of dementia among older adults. But just recently, a new Alzheimer's drug meant to slow the progression of the disease was granted full approval by the Food and Drug Administration. Dr. Susie Bash, a neuroradiologist and medical director at RadNet, is with us right now. Good to see you, Susie.
Nice to see you as well, Hal.
All right, so you and I have been talking a little bit about this drug over the last few weeks, and you're a pretty good cheerleader for it.
I am. I'm a big proponent of it. It's been an exciting summer for Alzheimer's disease.
What is Leqembi?
Okay, so Leqembi is a monoclonal antibody, and it does a great job of slowing the progression of disease for Alzheimer's. 27% slowing of the progression of disease.
But let's be clear here, this is not a disease that has a cure.
That's exactly right. There is no cure. But for the first time, we have full regulatory approval of a disease-modifying therapy. And so Alzheimer's disease is, again, a progressive neurodegenerative disease. It's characterized by two things, beta amyloid plaques and neurofibrillary tangles in the brain.
All right, define that.
Okay. So basically, they're sort of like toxic proteins that accumulate in the brain of patients that have Alzheimer's disease. And this
is it like plaque?
It's plaque, yeah.
So
beta amyloid plaques and neurofibrillary tangles. And this medication actually does an excellent job of clearing those plaques from the brain. So unlike other things like people use Aricept, that's a cholinesterase inhibitor, that treats the symptoms. But this actually treats the underlying disease process. It removes those beta amyloid plaques. And that's why it's so exciting. And the other component is, right after the FDA granted traditional approval, CMS, which stands for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid, immediately affirmed that they were going to cover this drug broadly.
And that's always been a big issue, is will insurance cover it?
That's exactly right. So this was really a pivotal step in the pathway to allowing drug access to the millions of people that are suffering from this.
But I want to get back to this thing about plaque, because we have all kinds of places in our bodies where plaque builds. And you can have it in an artery, and then you can have a heart attack, or you can have it in the brain, and then you can have a degenerative disease like Alzheimer's, right?
Well, it's a different kind of plaque. So the plaque that you were just mentioning is atherosclerotic plaque that you get in the arteries. This is actually, the beta amyloid plaque is actually outside of the brain cells, in the space between the cells. The neurofibrillary tangles are actually in the cells, but it's different from atherosclerotic plaque.
But we're talking about a lot of big words. It may be hard for a lot of people like me that didn't go to med school to completely understand. So what are we doing here? We're going in with a fill in the blank, and we are doing what to clean it out?
Right. So we're basically giving this medication is, again, a monoclonal antibody, and it attaches to those beta amyloid plaques and helps clear that from the brain, and it does a really good job.
It's like a vacuum cleaner.
Exactly.
Kind of grabs onto it and pulls it out.
And we can see that on an imaging study called a PET, that stands for positron emission tomography, amyloid PET. And you can see before the patient takes the medication, they've got a lot of plaque in the brain. And then after they've taken it, that plaque is removed. And after that plaque is removed, that's when we see the slowing of progression of disease.
Why is it we're just hearing about something like this? I mean, it seems to me, if we understood the science of how something might be pushed out, then this could have been done before?
Yes, well, that's a good question. We've been working at this for, in fact, there's the National Institute of Aging is funding over 450 trials on dementia. So there's been a lot of work here. Over decades. But this is the first time that we are getting medications that are actually working well in terms of slowing.
So we've had things in the past, they just haven't necessarily been effective.
They haven't been as effective, exactly.
And so now we have something that's effective, it's covered by insurance.
Right.
It's approved by the FDA, and that's why you're a cheerleader.
Well, yes. I mean, we just have recently published the results of this trial at the very end of 2022 in a new drug that we hope will get approval probably by fall or winter called donanemab, made by a different company. That slows progression by 35%. And they just published their results in July. So now we have two medications that we are seeing are actually making a big difference.
I was just looking at my notes about donanemab, and I'm noticing here that scientists at the Alzheimer's Association International Conference in Amsterdam seem to have had some pretty high hopes for this particular drug.
Absolutely, yeah. So that slows progression by 35%, and that's at the 18-month mark. But at the one-year mark, 50% of patients with Alzheimer's had no progression of disease at all. And when you think about how devastating this disease is, when we catch it in the early phase with this medication, that could mean a whole year of them still being able to drive their car, maintain, do their own finances, and most importantly, have meaningful interactions with their loved ones.
This is a medication, though, that is reactive, not proactive, right? So I guess my question is, you know, is this a step along the way to finding a proactive medication?
Right. So there are actually Alzheimer's preventative trials that are in progress right now. But this is what we have on the table, and it is making a difference. And these drugs, there are some side effects that you can get with these drugs.
Like what?
Well, it's called, the main one that you hear about is called ARIA. That stands for amyloid-related imaging abnormalities. And that can manifest as brain swelling, which we call edema, or brain hemorrhages, which are like microbleeds in
the
brain.
And then you get a stroke.
Well, not necessarily. It sounds very scary, but the great news is that the edema tends to almost always resolve over time. Yes. And like with lecanemab, symptomatic ARIA only occurs in less than 3% of patients on the drug.
Right.
And, you know, you have to, as you mentioned, this is a lethal disease. And so I can tell you from my perspective, if it was me or one of my loved ones, I would want to take the medication because, again, I would rather have that slowing of the progression of the disease, even if I did have a side effect. And then if you do develop the side effect, which, by the way, you pick up on MRI, and we can also use artificial intelligence to help us pick that up as well. But if you do have that, you would just pause the medication, repeat the MRI in a month, and then you can continue if it's gone away.
Okay, very good. So if you have any questions about this, be sure that you check with your doctor and say, I heard Dr. Bash talking about this on Hal Eisner's show, and I think it sounds interesting, and what can you tell me about it? And bada boom. Dr. Bash, good to see you. Coming up next on Fox 11 News in Depth, we're going to continue talking about all of this. To mention cognitive impairment, could there be therapies that are an alternative to drugs? And could one of them be as simple as a song? We'll talk about that right after this break. Don't go away. Welcome back to Fox 11 News in Depth. I'm Hal Eisner, and as we look at therapies and treatments for Alzheimer's disease, we see that research is going on in many areas beyond just drug therapy. Dr. Dale Bredesen is a neuroscience researcher and an expert in neurodegenerative disease, and thanks for being here. And first of all, I want to ask you some of your thoughts about what Dr. Bash had to say.
Yeah, and I actually say this is an exciting time. Things are changing. But I do disagree with some of the points there. The common, and of course, as Dr. Bass said, this is a drug that does not make you better. It does not keep you the same. What it does is if you take it early on, and what's called mild cognitive impairment or early dementia, it slows the decline by 27%. It's been pointed out that families can't really tell much of a difference. It's such
a
tiny
effect. I got to ask you, 27% is better than no percent.
Yes, but see, the common thing and the common misconception is that there is nothing else. Well, freely available online, you can see that there are actually things that make you better, do much better than this. So look at Journal of Alzheimer's Disease from last year. Precision medicine protocols have absolutely outperformed drugs. Furthermore, when you look at the long haul, you look at chronic, if you, for people who took the drugs, if you took Aricept or Namenda, in the long run, you actually did worse. And in fact, if you took the antibodies that Dr. Bash mentioned, in fact, you get more brain atrophy, so that you get the brain atrophy that's associated with converting to dementia, unfortunately.
It almost sounds like we should have had you next to each other and you could have had a bit of a debate here. But, you know, I think the bottom line is that you got science and medicine doing one thing, and then you're here because there are alternative forms of things you can do. Nobody's saying there's a cure. And all of it is a degenerative process. And so what the idea behind a Leqembi is, as I understood it and what I've read, is it slows the progression. Right. You're in the same boat, though, with the things that you have as ideas. Those still slow progression, right?
No, they actually, so this is peer-reviewed, published data where people actually got better. And actually, we're just now publishing a paper. We have people who have sustained their improvement for over a decade.
Tell me what those methods are.
It's called precision medicine protocols. You're looking at what's actually driving the decline. So you mentioned science and medicine. I ran a laboratory for 30 years looking at the mechanisms that cause neurodegeneration. And when you identify those, the two major ones that are driving Alzheimer's disease are energetics and inflammation. And each one of these has dozens of contributors. So you have to look further to see what's changed about the energetics, what has changed about brain inflammation, about neuroinflammation. And you can target those things. And as you can see, it's different for each person. So there is absolutely, and I wouldn't call it an alternative, I'd say this is no alternative medicine, because the drugs have failed largely. 27% reduction in slowing, as you said, better than nothing, but in fact, there are better things out there.
And approved by the FDA, and let's not forget, this is approved by the federal government.
Very good point.
All right. Now, let me ask you about these, for lack of a better term, in my non-medical vocabulary, what are some of these alternative treatments?
Yeah, well, again, the way to deal with this is not to simply say, okay, we're going to do music. What you want to understand is what is driving the problem. Now, music does help in that it stimulates. And interestingly, recent studies show 8 different studies where 7 of them actually found improved cognition. So there's no question this stimulation is part of an overall protocol, but there are other pieces of this as well. Interestingly, one of the points that was made was that music tends to be heard and analyzed in areas of the brain that are lesser affected by Alzheimer's. So that may be one of the reasons why it has worked relatively well.
Well, let's talk about something I'm very familiar with, because I had a family member who had Alzheimer's, and it got pretty severe at one point. But the one thing that seemed to bring her back was the cassette tapes that we made that were playing big band music and things that she loved to hear. It was almost as if she was just fine.
And
there's something about short-term and long-term memory, isn't there?
Absolutely. And interestingly, the one trial in music that failed was one where they didn't allow the people to pick their own music. They actually gave them that was picked by the practitioner. So there is something. And interestingly, they did better also if they were involved, if they were actually playing it or clapping to it or dancing to it or something that was involved. But again, this is about cerebral blood flow and oxygenation, sleep apnea, leaky gut, all these different things that can drive energetics and inflammation. And yes, music is part of that because of its stimulating effect.
Okay, we've got less than a minute. So let me ask you, what are the top 5 lifestyle habits that can help prevent cognitive decline?
So I hope it's okay. There are actually 7. It's diet, exercise.
Keep it under a minute.
Diet, exercise, sleep, stress, brain training, detox, and some targeted supplements. Those are the things that actually restore your energetics and reduce your inflammation and actually give you better outcomes than has been reported with the drugs.
So if I'm playing Wordle and all kinds of crossword puzzles, I'm doing a good thing for myself.
You are, as long as you're doing those other things as well, so that you're hitting all the things that could be contributing.
All right, Dr. Bredesen, good to see you. Thanks for talking with us, sharing some of your thoughts. And coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, we know that music can lift our mood and bring us joy, and that's just what our next guest will talk to us about as the Beach Life Festival returns to Redondo Beach next month. We'll be right back after this break. Don't go away. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner, and we talked a little bit about music as therapy for dementia and Alzheimer's disease. But let's face it, music is good for everybody. Don't they say that music helps heal the soul? Our next guest can definitely reinforce that idea. Joining us now, Alan Sanford. He is the founder of Beach Life and the Beach Life Festival. Alan, good to see you, and thanks for joining us. And we're all familiar with music festivals like Coachella and Stagecoach, but some may not know too much about Beach Life Fest, so why don't you bring us up to date on what that is, how long it's been going on?
Absolutely. Beach Life Festival happens in Redondo Beach in the South Bay of Los Angeles. It was started in 2019. It's based, obviously, in the beach life culture that those of us that grew up here have been steeped in, surfing and skating. And, you know, I found that going to Palm Springs or different areas was just too far to travel. So we decided to build a festival on the water ourselves.
Now, we just saw Winona Judd up there, and I have in my hand here a sort of a program of some of the guests you're going to have, including Jack Johnson, the Doobie Brothers, one of my favorite groups, Winona Judd, Brad Paisley. It's a whole list of names of people that are going to be coming, and so this sounds like a lot of fun.
It's a great time. It's right on the water, like I said. It's just as much about the artists as it is about the community. Wonderful barbecue, a weekend on the beach, and some of the, you know, bigger and better artists in the world making their way over to our little part of town to play. Can't go wrong with sunset and music and good food and good drink.
Well, that's true. It's a good prescription. I know you're not a doctor, but what about that idea that music is something that can heal all of us?
You know, this area was embroiled by a lot of legal issues, and I always tell people the one thing that our city council voted 5-0 on is music. I would wholeheartedly agree. It's good for the soul. It's about the only thing that we that none of us can disagree on is listening to some music and having a good time together.
Well, it's something that's a common bond.
It's one of the few things that we collectively all agree on. Like I said, it's you know, we all go to work every day. We all have families. But I think anybody that can take a chance to go out and enjoy music with friends.
You know, I love Redondo Beach. Don't get me wrong here. I love Redondo Beach. Why not bring it to Santa Monica? Why not put it to a place where you got just a gazillion more people?
Well, for those of you that have been down to the South Bay, it's a special little place. It's the Sleepy Hollow of Los Angeles. It's kind of the birthplace of surfing and skating down here. And, you know, I do love Santa Monica. I'll give you that. But you got to make your way down here and try Redondo out.
Well, I'm sure it's good for the local economy. No question about that. I only wondered because you have such a large population up here, would just bring more people to the event, where some people might be put off by the idea of traffic and parking and all kinds of issues related to that.
We have a great infrastructure. We have awesome parking. We support all sorts of alternative transportation. We love it when people use bikes and skateboards. I don't think you'd be skateboarding from Santa Monica, but a bike ride may be in tune. But people, for the, you know, by and large, haven't had an issue getting in here and enjoying it. And it's a little less crowded than the city.
Do I understand correctly you have a couple of restaurants in the pipeline?
I do. I've been doing restaurants for a long time, but we also are building the California Surf Club, which will be a 15,000 square foot restaurant and facility, membership facility down on the water in Redondo Beach. So a lot of good things coming out of Redondo Beach.
So when will that open up?
That opens up probably simultaneously to the May 2024 festival. So we do these festivals.
Let's give everybody some information on the festival, though. What are the dates again?
The current Beach Life Ranch Festival, which is Jack Johnson, a bunch of country music, Brad Paisley, that's September 22 to 24. That's coming up in about 30 days. And then we gear right around for our next festival in May of 2024. And the California Surf Club will be opening right around that time as well.
Just in time for the Doobie Brothers.
Just in time.
Awesome. I'm a fan. I guess I'd just like to ask you, for those who have never been down there, maybe they've been to Coachella, maybe they've been to Stagecoach. Is this the same sort of thing? A lot of people packed together?
Yeah, look, I'm 46. I've been in a lot of lines and I've been in a lot of crowds. I don't really like that anymore. This is not for you. This is not your Coachella crowd. This is nice and spread out. If you drop your wallet, somebody's going to pick it up for you. This is kind of like the festival for non-festival goers. So don't expect shoulder-to-shoulder crowds. Expect a really nice, spaced out, great outdoor environment.
You know, I understand from my producer, Hunter Lowry, that this thing keeps growing and growing and growing.
It does. It started as a very local thing. I am a local guy, and it has apparently a lot of people like the idea of a spaced out festival with great music. They share that idea with me. So we keep on kind of getting bigger, but we don't have any aspirations to become a Coachella. We're good with our little beach festival.
But what if it got too big? What if it got larger than you really expected it to become?
Then I think all my friends in the community would get mad at me and it would shrink again.
Oh, is that right?
I think we're pretty limited on space down by the water here. And like I said, I want this to be something that everybody's proud of. My daughter's proud of. And I don't see us getting much bigger than we are. We're pretty happy where we are, having the parties we have.
All right, very good. And so we only have a half a minute. So let me just have you take the opportunity to tell everybody your website, tell everybody what they need to know, how much the tickets are, that sort of thing.
Yep. So come down to Beach Life Ranch. It's September 22nd to 24th. You can buy tickets on beachliferanch.com or beachlifefestival.com. We're expecting sunny and 72. Come join us. 3 days of music, fun, food, and drink.
I may very well take you up on that.
We'd love to have you, Hal.
I'd love to be there. Okay, take care. Thanks for joining us, and we'll continue with Fox 11 News in depth right after this break. Don't go away. And finally, for an audio version of this program, check out my podcast. You know what it's called. It's called What the Hell, and it's available wherever you subscribe to podcasts, or just go to whatthehellpodcast.com. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News in depth. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.